Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this six-week series with PowerPoints and more to support your soul. We're going to start with our prescription for spiritual growth. As James mentioned, I'm going to share my screen so we can have those words in front of us together. And here we go. Let's see if it's going to cooperate. There we go. All right. So I invite you to just take a deep breath and open your mind, heart, to that soul center within you as we take these words together. I'll read them out loud. Just take them into your heart. We are aligned with the presence of God within. We are protected by God's love, wisdom, knowledge, and grace. The God consciousness within helps us discover more about who we are. Thank you, God, for the gift of spiritual intuition. Thank you, God, for aligning our conscious, subconscious, and superconscious minds. And so it is. All right, we have a wonderful, just a wonderful lesson looking at your life plan. The self-study lesson is called Life Plan. We're going to break it up into at least two parts, if not more. We'll see how we go here, but for today we're going to be looking at your life plan. And if you happen to have a pencil and paper, or pen and paper in front of you, you might want to do that for this one. We are going from looking at the soul, as we did with Greg the last few weeks, and the looking at that information on the soul and our enlightenment, our awareness, our moving into greater and greater expression of our souls versus our human personalities. And we're looking at that overall picture and how to support ourselves with that. And now we're kind of zeroing in on looking at this lifetime. And this is so often, as I was thinking about today, this is so often how Jane teaches us, where she's giving us an overall view of, you know, this is what soul evolution is about. This is what enlightenment is about. This is what we have moving forward. As we let go of our personality selves, we have this bigger picture that we're waiting for, or that we're working towards. And, okay, now back to what's right in front of us to do practically. So this is our hands-on, how are we supporting our souls information. I mean, it's all about supporting our souls, but this is a little bit more concrete that we're going to be working with at least the next couple of weeks. So here we go. So exciting. All right. So what is a life plan? Let's talk about that first. Your life plan consists of the opportunities that you have available in this life to balance your karma. We've talked about that before, and to learn whatever lessons you came into this lifetime to complete. It's based on karma. Karma, karma, karma. Everything is karma. It's based on karma, which includes connections we have with other souls to our own talents and abilities, and everything else that we take with us in our subconscious mind from one lifetime to the next. Or if you want to call that Akashic Records, that may be a familiar term to you at all as well, but it's what we've brought in from one lifetime to the next. Okay, so everyone comes into this world with a plan, and that plan is carefully put together to support the things that your soul wants to do in this lifetime. The opportunity to be with the people that are in our lives in this lifetime, the people who are available. Maybe there's other people, not maybe, there's definitely other souls we've had connections with that maybe they weren't available in this lifetime, so we're not with them. But they're still part of our karmic history doesn't really matter to us today because we work with what we have in front of us in this lifetime. So let's look at how we created our life plan. So when we pass on from one lifetime, we have that in-between life period before we incarnate into this current lifetime, let's say. So after we have died in one lifetime, we are looking back on our lives and looking to see, we're evaluating it. It's our evaluation time of looking back in our lives and seeing, okay, so, you know, maybe I did this really well. Maybe I did not do that so well. Maybe I did a lot of forgiveness and shared a lot of love, and maybe I withheld forgiveness and love with other people. So we're just evaluating our lives. And this is where we judge ourselves. This is really important because, you know, there's in religious history, there's so much about God being judgmental and so forth. And, you know, we have to ask for God's forgiveness and so forth. But this is where we understand, this is our time to understand that it's not God or some kind of, you know, higher power of any kind judging us. It's, this is where we judge ourselves. We are judging ourselves. We are saying, oh, I should have done this. I could have done that. Well, if I knew better, I would have done this. We have sorrow, guilt, you know, those, oh, I can't believe I did that moments. And it's also where we went, oh my gosh, I loved that. I want more of that, whatever that is, that person, that place, that thing, that situation, that experience, that expression. And so we move from that lifetime into this space where we're evaluating, and there's a lot of grace that happens there, because if there are things we feel guilty about, you know, there's a compassion. There's a lot of compassion there. In one of our slides, we're going to talk about the Lords of Karma. This is what Jane has expressed this time where we sit around with the Lords of Karma looking over our lives, and there's space holding there. There's compassion there as we have time and permission to have this evaluation time. We gain new understandings by looking at the lifetime we just ended, new awarenesses of what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad in the human third dimension, the definitions of right and wrong, good and bad, because we have to learn those in our third dimensional evolution, because that's what gets us ready for the moving into the fourth dimension, is we have done all that we can to perfect that human beingness, as much as human beingness can be perfected, which is not that much, but it's enough. So we look at what's right, what's wrong, what did I do that's right, what did I do that was wrong, what am I learning from that, what was good, what was bad, and other third dimensional human lessons kind of get assimilated into our consciousness at that time. And then we say, okay, I'm going to do it better and get it right next time. Again, maybe between lifetimes, we didn't realize that there really is no getting it right in the human consciousness, in the human form. It's just about completing what we need to complete to understand our own humanity enough to be ready to be tired of it and start that process of unfolding into our spiritual consciousness, the fourth dimension. All right, it is all about consciousness. It is all about consciousness. So here is my iceberg. You can see little personality self at the top of Lynn, and then some of my karmic history in there. My personality self was created from patterns and experiences from these other lifetimes. But as our first point on the slide says, you created the play that you're in now, the lifetime that you're in now, from the consciousness of your most recent life, from your last lifetime. So my last lifetime was the homemaker, mother, seamstress. And when she passed over, she made decisions about her life. She felt guilty because she never really forgave her father. She was really over sewing. And Lynn, in this lifetime, had the opportunity to heal and grow in relationship with my father in this lifetime, who was not my father from the last lifetime, but he was my stand-in, right? That I could grow with and learn and become closer to, because that was a desire of the heart of this person, this consciousness from my past. I can barely sew a button on something because I had laid that one down and said, no, I don't want to do that anymore, but I want to do something else. I still have those skills, but I can apply them and make funny looking icebergs to help demonstrate ideas instead. I can sew that together, more or less. It still looks better than any button I would sew on anything, but you know, so, and she grew up on a farm, and I, in this lifetime, was able to go visit farms, but it was not my thing. I loved being there for a short time, but I always felt kind of heavy when I was there. I felt heavy in fabric stores too, because there was just this part of me that was resisting. That was my resistance to, nope, I said I wasn't going to do this. No more farms, no more sewing. And so my subconscious energy of being done with that was resisting it. So it made me in this lifetime feel tired when I would go into that place, those places. So just, I'm just trying to give you some examples of, you know, how strong those influences from our most recent lifetime are. Because you think about it, remember that we evolve in this, you know, from lesser consciousness into greater consciousness, this crescendo of growing consciousness. So we're creating, of course, this current lifetime from our most recent consciousness, because we are the most conscious today than we ever have been. So we're not going to create our current lifetime from, let's say, my Inca lifetime, because that was hundreds, I don't know how long ago that was, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And I've grown my soul, my consciousness, my ego consciousness in its human form has grown throughout all these lifetimes. So I don't want to create a lifetime only based on my Inca life, because she didn't know very much. She didn't know very much at all about what it is to be human, about right and wrong, about forgiveness, about letting things go. And over time, as my soul evolved, and this is true for all of us, as our souls evolve, we grow an understanding of, you know, basic human goodness, right? So we want to create that from our most recent lifetime. So our last lifetime created this play that we're in. Jane calls it a play that we're in. We have characters, we have scenes, we have acts within the play. Different acts are in different scenes and so forth. Different people are in different acts. People, different experiences are in different scenes. So all the people that we wanted to love are in this lifetime based on where we were at in our last lifetime. The people we wanted to forgive, the people we wanted to get even with. I know none of us would ever feel that way, but you know, even those people are with us. And the people that we resented are back in our life to dissolve that negative energy, to heal. It's a good thing that they're in our lives. They are our teachers. They are our spiritual coaches that strengthen our resolve and help us heal what's inside of us to heal. Okay, so this is a wonderful movie. Jane introduced me and many of us to this movie years ago. I think it was from 1991, if I remember correctly. And it's called Defending Your Life. And it's a fun rom-com about two people who have passed over and they're evaluating their lives. And Jane said that it is a great, fun, silly example of what happens between lifetimes. So I encourage you to watch this movie between now and next week as you are working on looking at your life plan, which we're going to be talking about more today, because it's really helpful in seeing how that process of in-between lives works. So stay tuned. We'll talk about that more as we go on, and especially on Thursday night when we're working and supporting each other. Okay, so before you came into incarnation, you meet with the Lords of Karma to talk about what you want for your next lifetime. What do you want to do with your life moving forward? Who do you want to be with? What experiences would you like to have? What would you like to overcome? What would you like to develop? And given those desires and looking at the karma you have available, your life plan is put together. And I remember Jane saying in one class that this between life phase is where we have the most free will. We have free will when we get here too, to learn things, not learn things, help somebody, not help somebody, and so forth, forgive or not forgive. That's our free will also. But as far as choosing our experiences and the people in our world, that is all already set up for us. So our life plan is based solely on karma and what karma we have available. So if I wanted to be a basketball star in this lifetime, the Lords of Karma would help me say, well, okay, well, that's Lynn, that's a very interesting desire you have. You have about zero karma for that. So if that is really a desire that you have, then why don't you spend this next lifetime coming up practicing dribbling, practicing your aim, practicing playing on a team, and maybe you'll be good enough in three or four lifetimes to become that star basketball player. So, the universe will fulfill all of our desires, but we have to have the karma for those desires to be fulfilled. So if we have a desire that feels like it has not been fulfilled in this lifetime, that's part of what you're looking at this week. What is your desire? What big desire do you have that you look around and you go, I just don't see how this desire is going to be fulfilled? And maybe it won't in this lifetime. Maybe it'll be fulfilled in the next lifetime. Then what can you do to support yourself in getting that desire fulfilled next lifetime? Now, what the Center for Enlightenment is about and what Jane's teachings are about is letting go of all those desires so that we can use that energy instead of creating more desire karma. We use that energy for freeing our souls from our personality selves so that we can be learning and operating from spiritual laws instead of karmic laws, instead of human laws. Not that we run red lights or anything, but the human laws of karma and the opposites and, good and bad, right and wrong, all of that. But from the fourth dimension, remember, the fourth dimension accounts for all those third dimensional laws. But there are ways that we can work differently that's in the best interest of all concerned. And so that's where we are working on putting our energy instead of into third dimensional desires. Now that said, hey, these teachings are teaching you that too, right? So if you have some, take a look at those. This is why we're doing this week. What desires remain unfulfilled? Because those are the ones that, if those desires are with you when you are finished with this lifetime, those are the ones that you are taking with you into your next lifetime to be fulfilled. Or maybe two or three lifetimes. I don't know how long it's going to take. But we want to look at what's going on under the surface of our minds and hearts. What's going on in there? All right. So Jane often uses the metaphor of being in school, and really it's not really a metaphor. We are in school. We're in the school of the third dimension, working on classes in the fourth dimension so that we understand the third dimension better. And she says it's just like going to college. You plan your classes in between lives. You plan your classes you want to take, and you have the opportunity to decide what you want to learn about. You know, it's our free will time, the most free will given our karma that we can possibly have. And it's made up of the people, places, things, situations, and experiences, all those nouns and verbs that help you fulfill your life plan or your grade in school. All of that is put together. All right. Okay. So life is filled with the opposites. Another thing that Jane tells us is that we incorporate good things and difficult things in our life plan. And some lives are filled, it may seem like, with more difficulties, but that was part of the life plan also. You know, I have felt, I don't know how true this is, but this is my sense of it, that when people have lots of difficulties in this lifetime, they came into this world wanting to get a lot off of their plate in this lifetime. You know, the more the better, get it off. You know, let me just cram everything in there. I've had lifetimes like that where it's like, okay, this life is just going to be really hard, and I'm determined to get through it because I just want it off my plate. But there are good things in there too. They're maybe not as noticeable because we tend to focus on the things that are hard versus the things that are helping us and supporting us and blessing us. You know, that happens. That's okay. But it was all planned before we came into incarnation. And as we work with how to support our life plan in the best interest of our souls, starting next week and moving forward, and we're always talking about that, really. You know, sometimes it's hard to see, well, why would I have chosen something so difficult in my life? Why would people choose to be abused? Why would people choose to have terrible experiences, hard, horrific experiences? And from a human level, that's often really hard to take and hard to look at. But it's only part of the picture if we're looking at it from our personality selves. If we step back and we're looking at it from the evolution of a soul, I've had experiences in this lifetime that I could say, well, why would I have chosen that? I didn't choose that. That just happened because that person was terrible. That is just a bad person, and they did this thing to me, and I never chose that. I could say that, but because I'm a soul evolutionist and my work is to wake up to myself and to my whole self, I can step back and go, oh, I know why that happened. Because three lifetimes ago, this is what I did to that person, which was a lot more horrific. And this was a way to pay it back. Well, I'm so glad they didn't do to me what I did to them three lifetimes ago. I'm glad we both have evolved since then. So it was just a little bump instead of a horrific bump again, you know. And so it makes it easier to forgive and to understand, to have some loving understanding, some compassion as to why things are happening. So we'll look at those things, but just to keep that in mind, as you're looking over your life plan and you get to that point where it's like, oh, I don't want to believe that I chose this, that I agreed to this. I do not want to believe that. Remember, looking at it from the whole picture, we all have evolved from lesser consciousness and not understanding how to be human, even how to be decently human. Let's put it that way, as we would define it in the third dimension. So we've all had things. We've all been all the characters in plays. We've been the good guys. We've been the bad guys. We've been the, you know, neutral guys. We've been the behind the scenes guys. We've been the upfront guys. We've been all of it. We've been all of it. So it's not about right or wrong anymore in the third dimension. It's about, okay, what do I need to forgive? It's about making peace with the experiences that we have, because they're there to support our souls 100%, whether we like it or not. That's what it's there for. We don't have to like it, but that it doesn't change the fact that it's there so that we can complete some karma, so that we can pay something back that we owed, so that we can finally stop the game, stop the back and forth. You know, because if we're not doing our forgiveness work, we're with that person. If we're not doing our forgiveness work, what happens is that that's holding us in bondage with that person that we're not forgiving. And it's holding us in bondage. It's holding them in bondage. So we both have to come back together, and we're just dragging each other down instead of freeing each other to go, okay, we finished that. Let's go on to something that's a higher consciousness. You know, let's use that energy instead of going back and forth trying to be the last guy who did whatnot to the other. Instead of doing that, let's use that energy to love, to serve, to better ourselves as a soul instead of a human being. So it's important. So hang in there with it, because those can be hard to look at, those difficult situations that we really didn't want to have to go through, to see that those also have been part of our life plan, and they were there to bless us, to help us grow, to help us see something that we need to see. So as you're looking at your families, the parents you were born with, the brothers or sisters you have in your life, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, if you were an only child, or if your parents, one of your parents passed away, any of those experiences, this has all been part of your life plan. All that your soul wanted to experience to grow. You know, in therapy land, where I work in my day job, there's a lot of talk about generations, and we have these experiences because generations before us had those experiences, or, you know, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's, you know, whatever it is that has come down. And in the third dimension, looking at that from, okay, so this is my family system, but what we're talking about is, why did I choose that family system? Why did I choose that lineage? Why did I choose a family like this? And it's all because that family was there, because we're karmically connected, because that was the perfect family and the perfect people that we have karma with to help us with the lessons we came in to learn. So we can look at our whole family system, but it's still about, these are the lessons I needed to learn. So it doesn't, so I tell people sometimes, karma trumps genealogy, karma trumps biology, karma trumps genetics. So the question is, why did I come into this world choosing these things the way that I did? And this is about looking at our life plan. Okay, well, let's look at it. Let's get the juice out of those experiences, not based on anybody else, but just based on why did my soul choose this? Why did I come into this world to experience these things, to be supported in these ways? Because, you know, I'm talking a lot today about the difficulties, because those are the things we need to work on. But it's also very important to look at, oh, I chose this family because it supported my spirituality so beautifully. My family was a beautiful support to my spiritual hunger that I came into this world with, and then all the people that I've been connected with since, you know, meeting Jane when I did, and the having that be a part of my life, you know. So looking at your life plan is looking at all the support that you've received also, because those people in your life plan who supported you and have supported you, still support you, are here now supporting you, are all part of your life plan that you asked for, that you wanted to back you up in this process of life too, in this play that you're in today. So your action steps for this week, and this will be in the email that goes out with the recording. Look at Defending Your Life. I think it will really help you, and it's a fun movie. You will enjoy it. Mel Brooks and Meryl Streep, how can you not? But watch Defending Your Life and think about your life plan as you're watching it. Think about your own process. You know, just to have an open mind about it as you're working on your life plan this week. And looking at your life plan is helping your self support your higher self, support moving beyond the limited self more into your unlimited self. So this is an important process. It's an important movie. It's an important movie for you to watch this week. There you go. So, and write about your life plan, your parents, siblings, family, work, other aspects and experiences from your life. Who are the star players in your life? That's what Jane calls them in classes. Who are those stars, those people who stand out to you either in beautiful support of your life this time, or the people who are difficult, because those are the stars too. The villains are the stars just as much as the heroes are. What desires have been supported in this lifetime for you? What desires have you supported in yourself? What resentments have been brought into this life to be healed? And how have all of these experiences supported your spiritual journey? Because they all have. So we're really talking now about looking at your life plan. So these are all aspects of this work for you to do this week. The life plan you're living right now is important because it was designed to support you on your spiritual journey. Even if you didn't feel like you were really on a spiritual path until later in life, all the parts of your life before then were still created. People who don't even think about soul evolution or anything beyond the third dimension are living in their life plan that they created that is working in the best interest of their souls, even if they don't know it. So we're talking about this in a way where we can look at it and see, okay, this whole life has been designed to support the awakening of my soul, of me to my higher self, and it's worth looking at. So spend some time looking at it. Spend a little bit of time every day, because as you start this process, things are going to bubble up in your consciousness to add to your life plan. And you'll be thinking, oh, and there was that time, and there was that person, and there was that experience, and here's this desire that still festers in the back of my mind. You look at your parents. If you're married, look at the spouse you married. If you're divorced, look at the spouse you divorced. The children you have, if that's part of your life, or if you didn't have children, that's part of your life plan too. Look at your family, your brothers and sisters. Look at the many dimensions of your work, your career. Maybe you've had several variations of your career, and looking at those. And it doesn't matter if you're 20 or 80, you have a life plan that you're working through, and it's good to look back because, you know, if you're 80 or 90 or 105, you are creating your next lifetime by the consciousness that you're in right now. And I just said a mouthful right there, so let me go back. You are right now creating your future, creating your next life by letting go of the things that you need to let go of, whether it's lesser desires or unforgivenesses. By doing that work, you are creating something new for yourself in your next lifetime. If you're holding on to those things, you are creating something that is still going to support your soul for your next lifetime. So there's no right or wrong way to do it. There's just more efficient ways to do it. And that's what we're talking about too. So take your observer self this week. Really put that observer self on. The director. Think of yourself as the director of your play. So now you're the director and you're the writer and you're the producer. So take that, take those roles and step back and look at your life from as a play and the different scenes that were in your play and all those experiences and all those actors in your play that have come and gone or maybe have stuck around whether you wanted to, them to or not. And see, what role has this person been playing in my play? And what role do I want them to continue to play, if any? And if I don't want them to continue to play, if I were a writer, I would probably have to exit them out in some scene in the future. Well, how do we do that? Forgiveness, right? Forgiveness and release doesn't mean they're going to go because they've got their own life plan that mingles with ours, and we'll just have to deal with whatever shows up. But we can at least see, okay, well, I don't want the emotional energy I'm holding around that person, whether they go or stay in the play. Okay, well, that's good to know. Then that's my work to do. But this is about looking at all those parts and players and scenes and what we're creating, what we've created is really what we're looking at this week. And we'll continue to look at this so we can work with what we want to create for our souls and how to support our souls moving forward. So you must look at your life plan to see how these people, places, things, and situations, experiences have been there to teach you about something. And as you're looking at that, what was this trying to teach me? Did I learn what it was trying to teach me? Or can I look at it now? Can I look at this segment of my life now and that experience that happened during that segment? And did I learn what I needed to learn from that? Is there anything else I need to know? It's a good pause to look at if that experience in life or that experience with a particular person taught you what it needed to do to? Did you forgive what you needed to forgive? And so forth. So everything has been there to teach us about love, forgiveness, overcoming, with the many other opportunities to grow and learn what we need to learn in this third dimension as a third dimensional person, and as a third dimensional person who's waking up and looking at things more from a fourth dimensional perspective, which you are, you wouldn't be here today. And all of this understanding helps us heal because it helps us be aware of what is it that I'm still needing to learn? What is it that I have learned? It's wonderful. It's a wonderful exploration to look back and look at how we have accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. We can look back, you know, I think of, there are a couple of situations in high school and college that were such important parts of my life plan, supporting my soul, exercising what I wanted to exercise about myself and express and strengthen. And then when those situations were complete, they were complete and they feel complete. I can look back on them and say, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for that time. And I'm glad it's over. I wouldn't want to have carried that in or held on to it and dragged it with me. But I'm so grateful that And I can see how it supported me, my time in my youth group, in the denomination I grew up in was super important to me, but I wouldn't want to be pining over it today. It was supportive. It did what it needed to do, and it was done, and I moved on, and I can look back as part of my life plan and see how important it was and how complete it is. So that is, those moments are important for us to look at too. As you're looking over your life plan, think about that. Think about what is complete, what you have completed. Those are accomplishments. Good for you. And it's important to acknowledge those as part of our work, because there's plenty of work that's hard. And so it's good to acknowledge the work that probably was hard also, but it's done. It's done. It's checked off our list for this life plan. Call forth that observer self. It's the key tool in recognizing and understanding your life plan, because we can't really look at our life plan from our human perspective because we get stuck in the drama. You know, we can look back on an experience and then pull up all those emotions from our iceberg and just kind of pull us down below a five into the drama of that experience, and we can get angry again. And you know, so if you find yourself doing that, then it's like, oh, I have not learned what I needed to learn from that yet. So let's pull out the seven steps. Let's do some forgiveness work on that experience or that person and free up some more of this energy. You know, a lot of times I've heard from people over the years, you know, oh, this thing came up and I've worked on that for so long. I thought I was over it. I forgave. I can stand here today and know that I don't really hold anything to this against this person, but yet I have all these emotions. Well, great. Then the emotions are there and they're coming up for you to look at it in a new way. They're coming up for you to, because now you have a different perspective. And if you've been following these classes or Jane's teachings, Center for Enlightenment, you are going to have a new perspective as those things are coming up again for you. You're going to be able to look at them in a new way. Instead of getting lost in the emotional drama of that, you'll be able to say, okay, what is this trying to teach me? Why did I choose this experience? How is this blessing me? How is this supporting my soul? Maybe it's not supporting your soul anymore, so it needs to be released. Well, good. All those emotions are coming up to release anew, a new layer of them released. So good for you. Good for you. But it's always a different perspective that when those things that we've worked on before resurface, there's something else left in there. And we're trying to clear out that iceberg as efficiently as possible. So use that observer self to step out of the drama that maybe it has felt in the past, and you're looking at it in a new way, more objectively, to see the lessons. There is a minister friend of mine years ago who called them blessings because they're blessings within the lessons. And so he called them blessings. And as you're doing this work, you're also strengthening your observer self. That is that part of you that can step back farther and farther and farther from your, I don't want to say farther away from your personality self and the human evolution that you've gone through, but it's really more expansive to hold more understanding, more compassion, more energy to do the work of letting go, of releasing all that old stuck energy, emotion. So this work is important in strengthening your observer self as well. Another thing we've done over the years with Jane is to create a physical timeline. You know, like time in the human world is on a line, right? So write down, you know, write out a line and put different age segments. I just have some examples here. You can put whatever ages you want, but write down, what are the major experiences from those particular times that you've had? Maybe they're emotionally difficult. Maybe they're spiritually amazing and supportive and important to how you got here today. So write all those down. Those are all very important. Any major events that you've been through are worth looking at from this life plan perspective and how they've been meaningful and significant to you and who you are today, where your consciousness is at today. It's a very insightful exercise to look at all of these things. So this is the work for this week, to get physical with this. This is the push up your shirt sleeves and get out your, you know, if you want to use markers or paint, I don't know, how would you paint your timeline, you know, to acknowledge all these experiences that you've had that have made you the person that you are right now. I want to say that has made you the consciousness you are right now. All of these have made you the consciousness that you are right now. And that consciousness is a beautiful space, a beautiful, beautiful place to be in, to be you as you're looking at all of these things, because you are the most conscious now than you've ever been in the history of your soul. So let's use that. Let's use that consciousness to be more conscious. Somebody said one time, the gift of the gift of consciousness is more consciousness, because we use that awareness, that conscious awareness, consciousness, to become more aware. So this is our opportunity to get down and dirty and become more aware of who we are, why we were here this lifetime, what this whole life has entailed to support our awakening. Beautiful exploration. And I invite you to come with us on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. And if you're struggling with your life plan, we will help you. If you are wanting to share what you've learned, please come and share. If you want to just check it out, like, I don't know, this is a group that I haven't been in, I don't want to just pop in and show up, well, just turn your video off and listen to us. We don't bite. We can't. We're on Zoom. But it's a wonderful exploration and a time to get it out all on the table and talk about it and get support and learn from what other people are sharing. And you know, I imagine Thursday night's going to be really interesting with people sharing their life plan, whatever they want to share about it. And you know, and that always helps. I know for me, hearing somebody else's experience ignites new thoughts and ideas within me about my own. And it's so, so helpful. So please come and take advantage of that and get some support on this process, because this is really important, this life plan and understanding, taking time to look at your life. This lifetime will teach you so much about your iceberg. You know, I showed you mine, or at least parts of it, but you have one also, and what a beautiful practical exercise in learning more about your subconscious mind and who you are as a human expression today, a soul evolution expression over time, and who it's going to help as we move forward talking about where do you want your consciousness to go? Where do you want your consciousness to take you? How do you want to support your soul moving forward? So I invite you to do this work. And maybe we should call it something that's not work. Maybe we should call it, this is an exercise. This is a fun exercise. And even if it brings up difficult emotions, it's fun to see what's left over so that we can clear it out. and move forward. So let's take some time to meditate now and just take in all of that and open ourselves. I'm going to stop sharing my screen so that I can see you. Awesome. So I invite you to just sit back and take a breath for a minute. That's a lot of information. You are consciousness, and you are the place in consciousness that your soul has worked so hard for over lifetimes. We just acknowledge all the people, places, things, situations, experiences in our lives that have blessed us, and that have challenged us, and helped to make us who we are today. Even though we're looking at things on the measuring stick of time this week, we are still that infinite presence that is only in the now moment. And that infinite consciousness supports those pivots that help us make different decisions than we might have otherwise. That helps us let go of something we may not have otherwise. Forgive something or move beyond a fear. Because as we understand these things with consciousness, with awareness, it's just a little bit easier to let go. As we see their purpose, their value, we see beyond the emotion. And that understanding is such a great compassion that helps us let go. Let go of the old and be open to the new opportunities that a new consciousness, new awareness brings. I invite you to see this lifetime in your hands right now. See it or feel it in your hands. You're just holding this life with gratitude and love, joy. Because for whatever ups and downs there have been, it has supported you in being here today. You're not just here with each other, although that I'm grateful for, but here in your life where you're waking up to a new part of you, new choices, new understandings, new fresh air. Just breathe that in, that gratitude and that love. Let me just shine light for each other right now on those life plans and whatever awarenesses need to especially come to the surface as we're doing this exercise together this week. Thank you for showing us what we need. Thank you for bringing clarity and new light, new understanding to our lives, to these different segments in our lives with different people, different souls and evolution. Thank you for helping us look at this in a whole new way, with new eyes, new light, new energy, new lightness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We go forth and do this for the benefit of our hearts, our souls. And so it is. Take another deep breath. Thank you all for taking this time today to learn about your souls, hopefully in a new way. And now the fun stuff really begins. Mapping that out, taking a look at your lives in a new way. And I look forward to seeing you on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. If you can make it with us, it's a wonderful support for the work that we're doing. It's a wonderful support for moving forward and the things that we'll be talking about in the next several weeks. So, and that we're always talking about, supporting our souls, waking up. Have a wonderful week. If you would like to donate to Center for Enlightenment, there will be a link posted in the chat section. Center for Enlightenment is supported by your gifts, and we thank you for your love and support and presence here today. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to seeing you Thursday, hopefully next week, and have a wonderful experience no matter what with your life plan. Bye-bye for now.